A lion encircled in a strip of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. The title United Artists appears against a blue haze before a black background. The letters are black and they turn red. A Paul Monash production.
Over, don't get it.
A Brian De Palma film.
Okay, game point, 15-14, this team serves.
A girls' volleyball game at a high school. The ball is hit to and fro over the net, while one girl standing at the back looking a little awkward.
Hit it to Carrie, she'll blow it!
Don't blow it, Carrie, hit it!
Oh, Carrie!
Do it again, sure!
Play the game!
Boy, can't win a game with her on the team.
Look at her!
Come on.
You eat shit!
As the other team members file back into the school building, they take it in turns to shove, hit and sneer at Carrie. Starring Sissy Spacek, Amy Irving, William Catt, Nancy Allen, John Travolta, Betty Buckley, PJ Souls, Sydney Lassig, Stefan Girash, Priscilla Pointer and Piper Laurie as Margaret White. Now all of the girls from the volleyball session are in the locker rooms of the school gym. Steam drifts down each of the aisles as the young women, some naked, dry themselves off, pull on their clothes, brush their hair and laugh together. All of them seem comfortable in their bodies, with no urgency around covering themselves up as they chat happily. Alone in the shower area is Carrie, hidden in a thick fog of steam as she lets the water tumble down over her pale skin. Carrie White is a slight, teenage white girl with long strawberry blonde hair, freckled skin and a sharp nose. She turns to the spray of water, rubbing her hands over her breasts, her eyes closed, and her head tilted back before she reaches for the soap. She rubs the bar over her face, letting the suds spill down over her shoulders. Around her neck, she wears a key on a piece of string. Her hands cup her breasts once more, then she opens her mouth to catch the shower spray. She rubs the bar across her belly, then lifts her leg to wash the skin of her thigh. Keeping her leg raised, she rubs the bar of soap over the inside of her other thigh, the hot water flowing down it. She lets the blue bar of soap fall to the floor of the shower block. As she rubs her leg, blood mingles with the soapy water, and she looks down. She lifts her clenched hand up towards her face, wearing a look of shock. Her eyes widen a little and her brow furrows as she opens her hand. Glancing down at the floor, she touches a palm with her other hand before whimpering fearfully. With a desperate look, she gazes across the locker room at the other students. Shaking her head and with both bloody hands out in front of her, she speeds from the steamy shower into the locker room and grabs one of the girls. The girls push her away. Some of them hold up tampons and sanitary towels as they force her back into the shower block like a terrified animal. One of the girls opens the sanitary towel dispenser and they start to pelt her with them. The mob is almost in a frenzy. as their gym teacher gets up from a desk in her office and goes to find out what's happening. The teacher grabs another of the young women. As the teacher steps into the shower, Carrie grabs her by the shorts. The teacher slaps her.
Now relax, calm down. Listen to me. It's okay. Just stand up and take care of yourself.
While the other girls watch gleefully, Sue looks upset.
Do it.
A light above them blows. Carrie's collapsed into the teacher's arms.
Carrie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know, okay? I'm sorry.
Baby, come on now. Don't you know? Listen. I'm going to talk to you about it now, okay? Now just calm down. Just relax. See, they're all gone. Now listen, it's going to be okay.
Students bustle about.
Yeah, from my own high school class.
Carrie is sitting outside the principal's office where the teacher, Miss Collins, is pacing up and down.
Isn't she a bit old for her
first period?
Yes.
Morty, until a half hour ago, I don't even think she knew there was such a thing.
It's really hard to believe.
In this day and age, a girl in high school wouldn't know something. Facts.
Well, she didn't. But I don't know why that should surprise us. I mean, knowing that mother of hers.
Miss Collins, we can't interfere with people's beliefs.
I know.
As for the girls...
Well, Carrie's always been their scapegoat, you know?
You'll have to do something.
I will. But see, the thing is, Morty, that I knew how they felt. See, the whole thing just made me want to take her and shake her, too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was just her period, for God's sake.
Well, we'll send her home. Miss Finch, you send in Cassie Wright.
It's Carrie White.
Miss Collins is still in the bloody shorts.
Come in, Cassie.
Carrie.
Miss Finch, would you bring in a dismissal slip? I thought you might take the rest of the day and go home. Take care of yourself, Cassie.
Carrie looks down at the ashtray on his desk.
We're all very sorry about this incident.
A cigarette is still smouldering.
It's Carrie.
The ashtray trembles.
Thank you.
Miss Finch has returned.
Would you like to go to the infirmary? Lie down for a while.
I think Carrie can go home.
The ashtray shakes.
Would you like a ride? We could call you a cab.
I'm sure she can walk home. And Carrie, you're dismissed from gym for a week. Just take study hall instead, okay?
We're all sorry about this incident, Cassie.
It's Carrie!
The ashtray somersaults off the table and smashes on the floor. Now, Carrie's walking slowly along through a park, while a younger boy cycles in and out of some trees nearby. Having passed her, he doubles back to weave in and out once more.
Creepy Carrie! Creepy Carrie!
Glaring at him, Carrie watches as the boy takes a tumble from his bike, rubbing his leg as he throws her a suspicious look. A woman with thick red hair strides up someone's front drive.
Were you in Chicago 2 years ago?
Inside the comfortable house, a middle-aged woman's watching TV in a living room, a framed photograph of Sue on a table nearby. She goes to answer the door, her drink still in her hand.
You're looking at me so strange.
Oh, Mrs. White.
How have you been, Mrs. Smith?
Fine.
And the doctor?
Fine.
And your daughter?
Sue is fine. Won't you come in, Mrs. White?
Oh, how kind of you.
Mrs. White takes a book from her leather bag.
I think Carrie is in some of Sue's classes.
Yes.
Well, perhaps sometime she might like to visit.
I'm here on the Lord's work, Mrs. Snell. Spreading the gospel of God's salvation through Christ's blood.
Yes, of course.
I have something here I know is going to interest the doctor and you. The teenager's path to salvation through the cross of Jesus.
I don't think Sue would be very interested in that.
Oh, the children are wandering through the wilderness of sin these days, Mrs. Snell.
My Sue is a good girl.
These are godless times, Mrs. Snell.
Well, I'll drink to that. We'll all read these.
Excuse me. Please sit down, Mrs. White.
Mrs. White opens her Bible.
Betty, can I call you back? Well, Margaret White is here.
Good Lord. Right. Are you accusing me?
White.
I can't believe this.
Just let me get rid of her and I'll call
you.
Sue eavesdrops.
I have something here, Mrs. Snell, that I think you might profit from.
Mrs. Yes, White, yes. I'd like to contribute $10.
I see.
Looking affronted, Mrs. White turns and grabs a tin from her bag, opening it so that Sue's mother can put the money in. With that, she packs away her things, spinning round at the door.
I pray you find Jesus.
She's raised a hand, then leaves.
Hey, wasn't that Carrie White's mother?
Hey, I didn't hear you come in.
Well, what'd she want?
Mrs. White approaches a rundown house with a weathered for sale sign out the front. In an upstairs window, Carrie peers out at her mother and hurriedly shuts the curtains. The inside of the house is gloomily lit with dark cream walls. Above the dining table is a large painting of the Last Supper. Upstairs in the attic room, Carrie hurriedly pulls on a cardigan. A mother seems surprised by the ringing phone, then goes over to it.
Yes? Yes?
Carrie goes to the top of the stairs that lead down from the attic and leans over to listen in. Mrs. White seems transfixed by the person calling and glances up to the ceiling before hanging her head.
Thank you.
She places the handset into its cradle and looks towards the stairs.
I know you're listening. Come on downstairs.
Carrie frantically smooths her long hair flat against her head, then makes her way down the stairs, looking nervous. Mrs. White is standing beside the dining table.
Mom? Who was that? Called.
Mrs. White turns with a dog-eared textbook in her hand.
You're a woman now.
Why didn't you tell me, Mama?
Mrs. White hits Carrie round the head with the book.
And God made Eve from the rib of Adam. And Eve was weak and loosed the raven on the world. And the raven was called sin. Say it. The raven
Why
was called sin.
Why didn't you tell me, Mama?
Say it.
No.
The raven was called sin.
Oh, woman. And the raven was called sin.
And first sin was intercourse. First sin was intercourse.
I didn't sin, Mama.
No. Say it.
I didn't sin, Mama.
The first sin was intercourse.
And the first sin was intercourse, Mama. I was so scared. I thought I was dying. And the girls, they all laughed at me and threw things at me.
And
Mama.
Eve was weak. Say it.
No, Mama.
Eve was weak.
No.
Eve was weak.
No.
Eve was weak. Say it.
No, Mama.
Say it.
Eve was weak. Eve was weak.
And the Lord visited Eve with a curse. And the curse was a curse of blood.
You should have told me, Mama. You should have told me.
Oh, Lord, help the sinning woman see the sin of her days and ways. Show her that if she had remained sinless, the curse of blood would never have come on her. She may have been tempted by the Antichrist. She may have committed the sin of lustful thoughts.
No, Mama,
oh, don't
no.
lie to me, Carrietta. Don't you know by now I can see inside you? I can see the sin as surely as God can.
No, you're
we'll
me.
Pray.
No!
We'll pray,
no.
woman!
Mrs. White drags Carrie along the floor to the kitchen.
God, visiting curse!
Carrie kicks as she's hauled into a cupboard. Mrs. White steps out, leaning against the door.
Heaven, God, what came in sweat and blood? Genesis 3:16.
Calming, Carrie lets her hands release the hair she's been gripping onto before she lights a candle on a narrow shelf. The cupboard is a tiny square, only large enough for Carrie to kneel down in, and before her, on the shelf, is a figurine of Christ.
I'm Father Gordon.
The figure has a series of arrows puncturing his flesh, and his arms are stretched out as if nailed to the cross by his hands. Sometime later, night has fallen, and while Mrs. White works on a sewing machine, Carrie comes out of the cupboard. Hearing the door, Mrs. White pauses her machine.
Thank you, Mama.
Mrs. White has her back to Carrie.
You can go to bed now.
Twirling a length of hair around a finger, Carrie walks sheepishly up to her mother and places a timid kiss on her cheek. With that, she makes for the stairs. Up in her room, Carrie stares at her reflection in a mirror, sobbing as she rubs her face. The mirror warps in and out. As Carrie stares wide-eyed at herself, the mirror shatters.
Carrie? Carrie?
Mrs. White goes to the bottom of the stairs.
Carrie?
She hurries up to Carrie's door.
Carrie? Carrie? Open the door.
It's open, Mama.
The door is now unlocked and Carrie's kneeling by her bed.
What was that noise?
What noise?
Mrs. White glances round the room.
Go to bed.
Say my prayers.
When her mother's gone, Carrie looks up at the mirror, half of which is gone and the remaining section cracked, reflecting an image of Jesus from the opposite wall.
What are you going to leave for us, you people in your big cars, spewing pollution into the air?
In class, Carrie's hurriedly writing down the poem people being recited by the teacher.
Trampling down the wilderness. You people who peer into the back seats of our cars hours after you come out of the back doors of your motels.
As the teacher passes, the pupils now behind him start to throw things.
All we will have is each other. And that could be enough. If you will let us have room enough and air enough.
One of the pupils, a young man with curly blonde hair, is smiling triumphantly. The teacher pauses behind him.
You never could. I really must say, I must confess, this poem displays the most extraordinary talent. A talent extraordinary for you, Tommy Ross. You know, Tommy, this is slightly different from running touchdowns and hitting home runs. Well, class, any criticisms?
Carrie is sitting at the back of the class.
Anyone?
It's beautiful.
Everyone turns to look at her.
Carrie White! Beautiful. 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 Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. Is that the beautiful you mean, is it, Carrie? Well, I'm afraid, Carrie, this is hardly a criticism.
You suck.
Tommy? Did you say something, Tommy?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
I said, aw, shucks.
Tommy laughs out of sight at the teacher.
Roll call, Blake. Bourne. Gogan.
Carrie momentarily peers through the windows into the gym, unaware that a janitor is cleaning mean graffiti about her off the other side of the wall.
Shires. Snell. Watson. And the Wilsons. Okay, line up. Line up! Move it! On your feet, right now, two lines. Alice and Mary, eyes front. Katie? You too, Chris. And spit out that gum.
Where'll I put it, Miss Collins? You can choke on it for all I care. Just get it out of your mouth.
Miss Collins gazes angrily at Chris as she takes out her bubble gum, then she moves on down the line.
Wipe that smirk off your face, Norma. Okay. Now, I want you all to know that you did a really shitty thing yesterday, a really shitty thing. Did any of you ever stop to think that Carrie White has feelings? Do any of you ever stop to think? No, I guess you're too busy thinking about your dates and the prom. I guess you can take your pick, Chris. Who's the lucky guy?
Billy Nolan.
Who?
Billy Nolan.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Could you speak up?
Billy Nolan.
Well, isn't he the lucky one? What about you, Sue? Who's taking you?
Tommy Ross.
Right.
Simmering with anger, Miss Collins turns from them.
Now, my idea for this little trick you pulled was 3 days suspension and refusal of your prom tickets.
Oh. What? God. That'd get you where you live, wouldn't it? And you deserve it. I don't think any of you have any idea of just how nasty what you did really was. But the office has decided you're to have 1 week's detention.
They all look relieved.
Still, there's one little catch. It's to be my detention. That's 50 minutes every day, starting today, on the athletic field. Get the picture?
I'm not coming.
Miss Collins walks up to Chris.
That's up to you, Chris. That's up to all of you. Punishment for skipping detention is 3 days suspension and refusal of your prom tickets. Any other thoughts? Good. Now change up.
I'm not coming.
You're really not going to come? You're going to miss out on the prom?
I'm not coming.
I'm going to miss the prom.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4.
Out on the sports field, the girls are doing star jumps.
5, 2, energy, Norma. Come on, come on. 8, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Now they're touching their toes.
3, 2, 3, 4. Stretch, 2, 3, 4. Stretch, 2, 3, 4. Stretch, Norma, stretch. Stretch, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, bend up.
They all do deep squats.
Faster, and 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, and 2.
Lying down side by side in a long line, they each sit up and reach for their toes.
4, 5, and 6.
Miss Collins walks slowly along the line.
7, 8, and 9.
Now, they're doing press-ups.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Carrie's in the library looking through a drawer of index cards. She finds a tab that reads Miracles and looks through the titles stored behind it. Eventually, she finds a card that reads Hidden Powers of the Mind and then The Secret Science Behind Miracles. She pauses at the latter.
And 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Get your knees up.
The girls are running on the spot.
1, 2, 1, 2. Come on, you hotshots.
You can't get away with this. I'm gonna get her. Let her go, Chris. Like hell I will.
Chris walks off.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. The period's not up, Hargensen.
It is for me.
Keep running. Well, there are 10 minutes left. Stick them up your...
Miss Collins slaps her.
You can't! You can't count for this, you bitch!
What? I'm gonna knock you down, do you understand me?
She can't get away with this if we all stick together, Norma!
Honey!
Helen!
Sue!
Shut up, Chris. Just shut up.
This isn't over. This isn't over by a long shot.
You're out of the prom, Hargensen. Okay, the show's over. In place, run. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
In the library, Carrie's at a shelf and runs her fingers along the books, finding the secret science behind miracles. Removing the book, she opens it and starts to read.
Telekinesis. Thought to be the ability to move or to cause changes in objects by force of the mind.
Tommy's running around the sports track with some other young men and spots Sue waiting for him by the bleachers. Smiling, he joins her.
Hey, coach said I'm in the Nationals.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Hey, terrific.
What's up?
Can I talk to you?
Oh, right now?
Too important.
Right.
Tommy, if I asked you to do something...
Yeah?
...very special for me, would you do it?
Yeah.
I want you to take Carrie White to the prom.
Nighttime, and Chris is sitting in the passenger seat of a young man's car, brushing her hair and smiling at him sweetly.
How's it looking there?
The young man, Billy, is white with shoulder-length black hair and a dimple in his chin. As Chris does her makeup, Billy's gaze falls to her breasts. Then another car pulls up beside them.
Yeah, Freddy!
Hey, I got the biscuits for smart stuff!
Billy looks around at Chris.
Some other time, huh?
Oh, you pussy!
Give one of them beers, huh?
Suck on this, huh?
All right!
Freddy's tossed him a can of beer and he opens it before taking a swig. Chris is applying lipstick. Billy takes another swig as a car full of young women pulls up beside him. Billy ignores them. Then, as he drinks some more beer, a police car appears.
Oh, shit.
Watch it, you stupid shit!
He's thrown the can down into the footwell. Then the police car moves on.
Don't call me that, huh?
Well, look what you did!
He glances down.
I told you not to call me.
Look out!
Dumb punk! What, are you scared, Chuck?
What, do you want to get us killed? Damn shit.
You fuck!
He swings the car round to take them in the opposite direction. Now, Sue is sitting at a table with a textbook in front of her while she writes notes in a folder. Tommy is sitting nearby beside a television that's showing a western. He glances over at her from time to time. Smiling happily, she gets on with her homework. Tommy shakes his head with a smile and turns back to the James Garner film. Billy pulls his car up at some sort of party and is about to get out.
Don't be in such a hurry. Come on.
Don't be in such a hurry. I'm hurrying away from you, you know that?
No, you're not.
Pain right in the ass.
You don't mean it.
I don't mean it.
She sucks one of his fingers.
You're crazier than some bitch, you know that?
Gazing seductively into his eyes, she licks each of his fingers.
Come here.
Oh, shit.
He leans over so they can kiss, then she pushes him away. He kisses her again, and once more she shoves him away.
Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you?
Can't you wait a minute?
But what for? We do this all the time.
You're so ignorant.
Yeah, but that's what you like about me, right? I know that.
Bullshit.
No? No? I know what you like about me.
Yes, don't you touch me. No!
He grabs her.
Dumb shit!
I thought I told you never to call me that. You know, you are totally fucked up. That's it. You really are, I know that. I'm convinced.
Billy. Come here. Billy.
Having moved towards him, she kisses him tenderly.
I want you to do something.
What?
Something important.
She kisses away down his body.
Mm-hmm.
Billy.
Her head is in his lap.
Billy. 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 Billy.
He puts his head back.
Billy, I hate Carrie White.
Who?
Another day, and Carrie is in the library once more, a pile of books in her arm. As she makes her way to one of the shelves, she doesn't notice Tommy watching her. He steps closer.
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
Good. What are you doing?
Reading?
Yeah, what are you reading?
About, sewing?
Sewing, that's good. If you don't have a date for the prom next Friday, would you like to go with me? What? To the prom? It's next Friday. I know this is late notice, but, let's see, they stop. Carrie, let...
Those drills from yesterday, I'll be right there.
Miss Collins finds Carrie sitting on a bench in a quiet corner at the back of the school building. She looks upset.
Carrie?
Hey, Carrie, what's the matter? What happened? Was it one of the girls? Did one of the girls do something to you?
No.
What is it then? You can trust me, you know that? Would you tell me?
I got invited to the prom.
That's great. That's fantastic. So what are you down here moping around for?
Tommy Ross asked me.
That's even better. He's really cute, huh?
I know who he goes around with. He's trying to trick me again. I don't know.
Maybe not. I mean, maybe you really meant it. Hey, Carrie, let's think about this now. I mean, it might be terrific. You might have a really good time. Carrie? Hey, Carrie, I want to talk to you. It's about this attitude you have about yourself. I mean, you're always walking around, you know, with your hair down, all moping around. Carrie? Come here, you big silly. I want you to look at yourself.
They go inside to a mirror.
Would you look at that? Come on. Now that's a pretty girl. Look at her eyes. A little mascara to bring it out. No? Your lips. Try some lipstick. You have nice, pretty lips and your cheekbones. Look at your hair. It's beautiful hair. You could just put it up a little, maybe add a little curl. What do you think? Yeah. Well?
Well, what do you want to know?
Why Tommy asked her to the prom? Well?
I asked him to.
Why? What for? What could you possibly have had in mind?
I thought it would be a good thing for Carrie to get her to join in with a few things and be with people.
Make her a part of things.
Right.
Come on, Sue. We're not that stupid. Neither is Carrie.
Maybe not. I don't know.
You mean you're not gonna go? You're just gonna stay home and miss your own senior prom? Come in. What is it?
Just the attendance sheets, Miss Collins.
Thank you. You know you can't go without a date.
Norma's still there.
Is there anything else, Norma?
No, Miss Collins.
Thank you, Norma. Which brings us to you.
Miss Collins, I have to get the prom.
Well, it's too bad, isn't it?
If you don't mind, this is between Sue and I.
Oh, but I do mind. Unless, of course, you'd like to continue this little discussion in Mr. Morton's office.
What is the big deal?
Because it is a very big deal for Carrie White, and you know it.
Well, she already said no anyway.
Yeah, well, with a little effort, you can change that.
Don't count your chickens.
Just don't try.
Fine. I won't try.
Wait a second. It's not fine. You can't order someone not to take someone to the prom.
Well, you know, I can make sure that you don't hurt Carrie White anymore.
We're not trying to hurt her, Miss Collins. We're trying to help her.
How?
Miss Collins looks over at Tommy.
Hey, Tommy, don't you think you're just going to look a little ridiculous when you walk in the prom with Carrie White?
We don't care how we look, do we?
Tommy looks down, then laughs. Miss Collins isn't convinced and lets out a sigh. Now, a red truck speeds around a corner and pulls to a halt at the side of the road. Tommy's behind the wheel and he gets out and pulls off his sunglasses as he takes a deep breath. He's outside Carrie's house and makes for the front porch, glancing over his shoulder as he goes. When he reaches the door, he knocks. Carrie answers, pulling the door close to her back when she realizes it's him.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
So this is where you live, huh?
What are you doing here?
You're gonna ask me? Why not?
Mama's resting.
Oh.
What?
God, right to the point, huh? About the prom again.
I already told you.
Well, I know, but there's nothing to say you can't change your mind. Girls do it all the time.
Why are you doing this?
Because I want to.
No, you're not.
Carrie, now come on. I don't do anything I don't want.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
Carrie?
You better go.
Not till you say yes.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
I said I can't.
Carrie?
Yes, you can.
Will you please go?
Not till you say yes.
Why is this so important? To you?
I don't know, maybe because you like my poem.
Carrie?
She looks inside.
Okay, I'll go.
Good, I'll pick you up at 8 o'clock. Okay.
Nighttime at a pig farm.
What's the matter, Willie? We gonna wake up the little piggies? Oh my God. You know, this is not hell of a risk for a joke, Bill.
You want out?
No, it's a good joke.
You bet it's a good
joke. It's a good joke.
Look at this.
What?
All these pigs. What are you talking about?
These painted pigs.
Stupid old man had his nitwit cousin painted them all.
Shh. I know. I went out with a girl that posed for him. She was a real pig.
Will you shut up?
Will you let me up here? Will you let me up?
Quiet. You're going to kill that pig, right? Piggy! Here, Piggy! I'm gonna bash your little heads in, and you don't have to worry about the bomb no more. Come here, little piggies. Come here, sucker. Come here, you little sucker. Come here. Here's one right here. Come here. Will you shut up and do it already?
I thought you were gonna give him a chance to burn. Come here.
Oh, yeah?
Come here, Piggy.
Get her done. You can't do it from standing out here. Get her done, man. Get her done.
I can't. I can't, you.
Oh, I knew it. I knew this would happen. It's just you. Hold it there, you pig. You fuck up. You know
do
what?
It, Billy.
Just fuck up and you
just
shut
do
up.
Do it.
All right, move it out. Move it out. That's it.
Billy's given a mallet.
Move it out. Yeah. Yeah, that's my baby. Yeah.
Do it. Rain pours down heavily on Carrie's house. She and her mother are eating by candlelight.
You haven't touched your apple cake.
It gives me pimples, Mama.
Pimples are the Lord's way of chastising you.
Mama?
Yeah?
Mama, please say that I've got to start to try and get along with people better.
What are you going on about, Carrie?
I've been invited to the prom.
Prom?
Yeah, the senior prom, you know. Everybody's going.
It's that teacher that called, wasn't it?
Please see that I'm not like you, Mom. I'm funny. I mean, all the kids think I'm funny. I don't want to be. I want to be normal. I want to start to try and be a whole person before it's too
Mrs.
late.
Mrs. White throws her drink over Carrie.
His name's Tommy Ross, and he's a very nice boy, Mom.
No.
And he promised to stop him and
I
meet
you no.
before him. And my minute, Mom, I've
no,
accepted,
no,
Mama.
No, no, no.
I've accepted, Mama. I accepted.
Come to your closet.
No. After all you've been taught, everyone in bad, Mama, everything in the sin.
Come to your closet and pray. Ask to be forgiven.
He's a nice boy, Mom. You like him. You really like him, Mama.
Boys. The boys. The boys. Yes, the boys. After the blood come the boys, like sniffing dogs. Grinning and slobbering and trying to find out where that smell comes from. Where the smell is, that smell. Listen, I know where they take them. God, I've seen it all right. Well, you're not going.
Ari said I would.
Tell that boy you're not going or we're going to move from here.
No.
Move from here and you'll never see that boy again. Lorraine's coming in.
Oh, please,
don't leave me. Come on,
get him. Please, talk to me.
All of the windows in the house slam shut.
I'm going, Mama. And things are going to change around here.
Witch. That's Satan's power.
It has nothing to do with Satan, Mama. It's me. Me. If I concentrate hard enough, I can move things.
Satan is clever.
Mama, I'm not the only one. Other people can do it. I read about it.
Oh, you poor child, don't you know? He doesn't let you know he's working through you.
Mama, I know.
He ended your father and carried him off.
He ran away, Mama.
The devil tempted him.
He ran away with a woman, Mama. Everybody knows that.
You must renounce this power. You must give it up. You must never use it.
I'm going, Mama. You can't stop me. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
The school building's been decorated with stars, but is in darkness. Inside the gym, Billy's filling a bucket above the stage.
You keep that damn light straight.
Hurry up. Watch it, you stupid shit. You're getting blood all over the place.
Who are you calling a stupid shit? I mean, you can't even keep that fucking light straight.
Just hurry up.
Yes, ma'am. We's doing the best we can. We really are, boss.
Hurry up. I want to go home.
Just keep your tits on, and I'll let you pull the rope when the time comes.
I plan to.
I know.
At home, Mrs. White's rocking back and forth while she prays. Nearby, Carrie's sewing a pale pink dress on one of many mannequins.
Ernest, listen, tonight's prom night and everything, right?
Oh, yeah, I didn't know you were interested in going.
You mean I'm not interested in going? I'm a student here, am I?
I don't know.
Huh?
Are you?
Sure I am. I got so much spirit in this school, I want to be on the committee.
Well, you're a little late, Freddie. I could have used you a week ago on the decorating committee.
No, I'm not late, Ernest. I'm right on time, pal. You know, I want to collect the ballots, you know, for the king and queen and the voting and, you know. Think we can arrange that, huh?
Yeah, okay. Can you be here at 6:30?
No, can't be here at 6:30. I'll be here at 8. How's 8? 8's fine with me.
Yeah, that'll do. Okay.
Okay, well, we'll see you then.
Yeah, see you, Freddie. Take it easy.
Yeah, I'll take it any way I can get it, pal.
Hey, Helen. Did you hear about Tommy Ross?
What?
He's taking Carrie White to the prom.
No.
Yeah.
When did that happen? He can't do that. Where's
Sue? Yes, Kenny asked her.
What's she gonna wear?
Well, Carrie?
A sackcloth?
Freddie, you gotta keep those stars coming faster.
They're coming.
Hey, what's this I hear about Tommy taking Carrie to the prom?
Whatever you heard, it's true.
Why is he doing it? Everybody is talking about it.
I asked him to because I thought I owed it to Carrie.
And where's that put everybody else?
They got to deal with it in their own way.
What do you mean? Oh, just something.
But you're not going to the prom.
Oh, I'll be here.
You'll be here?
I sure will.
What do you mean, you're going to the prom?
Shut up. I will tell you later. You're going to be in on it. Don't worry about it.
I'm going to be in on it? What?
What?
Come on,
I'll tell you later.
I want to know now, Chris.
Just wait.
Can't you give me a hint?
I won't tell anybody, I promise.
I won't say a word, I promise. I'm your best friend.
Come on. Okay.
Tommy and two of his friends are walking along the street. One of them has to be dragged into a suit shop by Tommy and the other young man. Carrie is in a chemist's, trying on one tester lipstick shade after another. she wipes her mouth, then picks another.
Look, you gotta rent yourself a tuxedo for the prom.
I know, I only got $10, so.
$10? You can rent yourself a tuxedo. You're not gonna look great.
Come on, does this look nice?
He looks beautiful. You can look good. You'll make a good impression for once in your life.
Would you go out with me?
Not with Ruffles.
All right, well, you don't have to get Ruffles for yourself. You always gotta make a joke, right?
No, I just don't like Ruffles.
You don't like Ruffles? You don't have to get Ruffles! All right, now look at me, Pete. Don't I look sharp?
Well, yeah, it looks good on you, but I don't look right in a tuxedo.
How do you know? Have you ever put on a tuxedo?
I don't have a tuxedo body.
I know they have tuxedos here for you.
But I wouldn't look right in it.
Wait a second. I know just the tuxedo for him.
Well, what do you think, huh?
I like it. I think it's terrific.
Look at that. No Ruffles at all.
Now, Carrie's wearing her new dress while she applies some mascara in her broken mirror.
Red. I might have known it would be red.
It's pink, Mama. Look what Tommy gave me, Mama. Aren't they beautiful?
A corsage of pink roses and matching ribbon.
I can see your dirty pillows. Everyone will.
Breasts, Mama. They're called breasts. And every woman has them.
Carrie goes back to her makeup.
Take off that dress. No. We'll burn it together and pray for forgiveness.
No, Mama.
They both go to the window, but it's not Tommy. Carrie returns to the mirror.
Well, he's not coming.
He is coming, Mama. Now stop it. I'm nervous enough.
Mrs. White paces up and down.
No, he's not coming. He's not going to come.
She starts to hurt herself.
Get away! Stop it, Mama! Stop hurting yourself, Mama!
He's gonna laugh at you. They're all gonna laugh at you.
Look,
it's not too late. You can stay here with me.
I don't want to stay with you, Mama.
Look, I'll answer the door and I'll tell him that you're sick. I'll tell him that you changed your mind.
Sit down! Be quiet!
Mrs. White's thrown back onto the bed, red scratch marks on her face, and Carrie hurries to the window to find that Tommy's arrived.
Look, I'll tell him that you changed your mind.
Just sit there, Mama, and don't say a word until I'm gone. Be home early. I love you, Mama.
Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live.
Couples are making their way towards the school building, which has been decorated with enormous letters spelling out the phrase Love Among the Stars, and which are positioned above the silver stars already attached to the wall. Tommy pulls to a halt near the entrance and goes to open his door.
Tommy? Could we wait here just a minute?
He pulls his door shut and they both stare out ahead.
Are you scared?
Uh-huh. Carrie mulls it over.
Maybe this was a mistake.
Oh, no. That's not going to be that bad. They're a good crowd. Really. Really. Don't be so nervous. Besides, I'd look awfully stupid dancing by myself, wouldn't I? Now, come on.
Tommy gets out of the car and Carrie opens a door, then closes it again, so that he can do it for her. He offers her his hand.
As I look back upon my younger days, I really was a maniac.
In the school gym, a band's playing on the stage and a large number of prom-goers are dancing.
The teachers would say they should lock him away.
All around the room are circular tables bedecked with blue cloths, while silver stars have been strung from the ceiling.
Oh, man, you are the times and my body's in night.
At a long table at one end of the room is a huge bowl of punch. Lights twinkle off the silver foil stars as they swing and sway above the energetic dancers. Above the band in silver letters, it reads Bates High School Senior Prom. A number of teachers are standing or sitting in a corner to one side of the stage, and nearby is the entrance where Carrie and Tommy are just arriving. To Tommy.
Boy, you know, Ross, if I knew you were going to look this sharp, I would have taken you instead of, what's her name?
Don't bother about them. If they self-destruct, I'll dance with you.
Norma giggles.
Hey, where did you buy that dress? I love it.
I made it.
Me? The decorations, don't they look great?
Yeah, I'm so nervous.
Oh, it's okay. You're going to sit with us.
Hey, what time is it?
8 o'clock.
Let's go.
Where are you going?
Out. See you later. Sue!
Tommy and Carrie are sitting at one of the tables while other couples slow dance on the floor.
Would you like to dance?
Could we just sit here for a minute?
Oh, sure. Sure, anything you want.
Miss Collins walks over to them and Tommy gets to his feet. To
take a chance.
Carrie?
Miss Collins, you look so pretty.
You too. You look beautiful.
Thank you. Oh, no, I don't. Not really, but thank you anyway.
May I sit down?
Uh-huh. Yeah, why don't you?
Thank you.
I want to talk to some people.
Tommy offers Miss Collins a seat, then gestures that he's going across the room. Miss Collins moves Carrie's hair away from her face. She looks wistful.
I remember my prom. I had a date with the captain of the basketball team, and he was 6'7" tall. So I went out and bought a pair of 3-inch spike heels so that our kiss goodnight would be less awkward, right? So anyway, we went in his pickup truck, which of course broke down, and we had to get out and walk the last half mile to the prom. So by the time I got there, my feet were so covered with blisters that all I could do was just sit there, you know? I mean, I couldn't dance. So we just sat there and just talked. And it was magic. Is it like that for you? It's nice.
Just nice.
No. It's like being on Mars.
You'll never forget it.
I don't think I will.
Hey, what's going on here, huh?
What are you doing with my date?
Well, we're just talking, you know.
Yeah?
Have a lovely time, okay? And you too. Bye.
Don't let me catch you hugging any guys like that.
I won't.
Better not.
You will.
They each reach for their drinks.
You really have to be home so early?
Yeah, I promised.
You? Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Some of the kids are going to go over to Boston's after the prom.
It's okay.
What?
If you want to go with your friends, I don't want to spoil anything.
Would you let me finish? What I was going to say is that if you'd like to, we could stop in at the Beehive for a couple minutes.
I've never been there.
No?
Good.
Well, then let's go. Okay?
For sure.
Are you ready to dance?
I don't know how.
Come on.
I can't.
He pulls her to her feet as Freddy places a piece of paper on their table. Holding her hand, Tommy leads her through the other couples to the center of the dance floor. The other students look round at them as they go. Standing facing one another, Tommy talks to Carrie, gesturing over to the other couples, then stopping her from running off as she makes a break for it.
Put this on my shoulder. That's right. Okay. Just relax. All right? Okay. Just listen to the music. That's right. See, you got it. That's good. You're as good as anyone else out here. You got it.
He goes to kiss her forehead and she pulls away.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's just like...
That's all right. No harm. No foul.
I can't do anything.
There you can.
I can't dance. I can't even...
Gazing into her eyes for a moment, he leans in and kisses her on the lips. When they pull apart, she looks up at him, then rests her head on his shoulder. They turn on the spot, spinning round and round.
Why what?
Why am I here?
Because it's the prom.
Why am I here with you?
Because I asked you.
Why'd you ask me?
Because I wanted to.
Why'd you want to?
Because you like my poem. Only I didn't write it, somebody else did. Carrie, we're here, and we're together, and I like it. I do, I like it.
She smiles happily and rests her cheek against his as they spin faster. The room, the lights, and the stars are like a blur as they twirl. Sue arrives outside the school building and hurries down to a back door, letting herself in.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, you two behave yourself, okay? Just take your seats, please, and we've got to vote for the king and the queen.
There are five couples on the ballot, and the last one is Tommy and Carrie.
Tommy, you're on here.
I know. Do you want to decline?
Do you?
Hell no. If you win, all they do is they put you up there for a school song and a dance, and then some guy takes your picture for the yearbook so that everyone can see we look like a couple idiots. Anyway, it's the last year. Why not?
You're so beautiful.
The stage is being prepared.
Hey, you're beautiful.
He smiles kindly at her.
Well, who should we vote for? They're more your crowd than mine. I'm no crowd.
Well, let's vote for ourselves. Why not?
Just please don't vote for ourselves.
Carrie.
He's cupped his hand against the side of her head.
Come on. To the devil with false modesty.
The devil.
She puts a cross beside their name, then covers her face with her hands. Back at her house, her mother is walking around the kitchen table. She stops beside a chopping board, where she reaches for a carrot and starts to hack heavily away at it with the sharp blade. When the carrot falls away, she keeps chopping.
Salad, salad, please. Hey.
Shut up. Will you close that little bit?
Thank you.
Jesus, you want to get caught?
That carrot light just sure is cute.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thought you said they were going to win.
Okay.
Thank
you very much. Won't even be close. I called in a few favors.
Can I have your ballot, please?
Norma collects Carrie and Tommy's ballot paper.
Thanks, Bobby. Ballots, can I have your ballots, please? Thanks, Senator. Well, thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Thanks there. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you there. Thanks. Ballots, please. Thank you. Thank you. So, Freddie, hurry up, please. Ballots. Good. Yeah, thanks a lot there, babe.
Freddie kisses her and drops the ballots on the floor.
Right back here. Just start kicking.
Norma kicks the ballots out of sight. Then Freddie hands her a fresh pile.
Good luck.
More ballots? Thank you. I have some more ballots for you guys.
Thank you.
Norma hands the papers to Miss Collins, then knocks on the steps up to the stage to alert Billy and Chris, who are hiding beneath it, that her part is done. Sue appears behind the stage and peers round the edge of it. She's unaware that she's right beside a rope that leads up to the edge of the backdrop, stretches high above the stage and is connected to the bucket of blood. Beneath the bucket are two sparkling chairs that have been positioned on the stage. One of the faculty takes to the microphone.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got the winners.
All right.
I give you Tommy Ross and Kerry White.
With the blood in the bucket gently rippling, Tommy leans over Carrie as the spotlight finds them, and he lifts his fist triumphantly in the air. Everything seems to slow as Carrie nods, overwhelmed with emotion. Tommy gets to his feet, holding tightly onto her hand, and she looks up at him with a tearful smile. Clutching her sheer scarf around her shoulders, she makes her way slowly through the applauding crowd with Tommy by her side. Tears glisten in her eyes as she looks up at Tommy and beams with joy. As they near the stage, they approach Miss Collins, who's clapping along with a huge, happy smile. The students close behind them as they near the steps. Peering out from beneath the stage through strips of crepe paper, Chris wears a feverish expression, the rope in one hand. She ducks back as Tommy and Carrie climb up the steps. Both she and Billy appear again once Carrie and Tommy are up on the stage. Sue is gripping onto the backdrop as she watches everything unfold, a huge smile on her face. Carrie is helped up onto a glittering platform and is handed a huge bunch of flowers. The bucket starts to wobble, Chris gripping at the rope, which moves beneath Sue's hand. She glances at it, but is distracted by the prom king and queen. A tiara is placed on Carrie's head, and the student who hands it to her plants a kiss on her cheek. The packed auditorium is filled with applause, and there, at the front of the crowd, is Miss Collins, who shares a happy look with the English teacher. Looking overwhelmed with joy, Carrie says thank you, and one of Tommy's friends takes a photo of her. Tears glisten on her cheek, and she says thank you once more. Beneath the stage, Chris is tugging on the rope with excitement. This time, when it moves beneath Sue's hand at the edge of the backdrop, she pays attention to it. She looks along the jiggling rope that climbs up the backdrop, then steps away to get a better look at where it stretches across the stage to a strut high above Tommy and Carrie. As she moves further away from the stage, the bucket is in clearer view to her. When Miss Collins looks round at someone else, she spots Sue and her smile fades. Sue is moving further into the prom, and as the bucket shifts a little, Sue watches a length of crepe paper that falls directly from the bucket to just behind Carrie. Miss Collins is watching as a look of shock floods Sue's face as she in turn stares across at Tommy and Carrie. Tommy leans over to Carrie and kisses her. Sue looks up at the bucket. This time she follows the quivering rope down the side of the backdrop to where Chris is silhouetted through the crepe paper, gripping onto the rope beneath the stage. Sue races to the steps to look through the crepe paper, and Tommy glances down just as Miss Collins grabs her and pulls her away. Beneath the stage, Billy's toying with the rope and Chris slaps him, their own argument meaning she's missed Sue's arrival. Harry watches Sue protesting as Miss Collins pulls her through the crowd, and Chris laughs when she spots the kerfuffle through the crepe paper. Chris licks her lips as she grips tightly onto the rope. The bucket's wobbling as Miss Collins shoves Sue through a door and slams it shut behind her. The bucket tips and Carrie is drenched with the pig's blood. Tommy pulls a face as he looks down at himself and the applause stops. Miss Collins clasps a hand over her mouth. Norma starts to laugh, but the students beside her don't join in. Carrie's horrified, her hands held up before her. Tommy looks up at the bucket before shouting, "What the hell?" The bucket falls, hitting him on the head. He drops to his knees, leaning into Carrie before he falls unconscious on the stage. Carrie looks up at the audience, her mouth wide. As she looks out at them, she imagines everyone laughing, even those who aren't.
We're all sorry, Cassie. We're all sorry, Cassie.
Trust me, Carrie. You can trust me. Trust me, Carrie. You can trust me. Trust me, Carrie. You can trust me.
Chris and Billy scramble out from beneath the stage. Her head tilted back, the blood now fully soaked into her hair and dress, Carrie slowly brings her gaze to the people before her.
Trust me, Carrie.
As Chris and Billy get out by a back door, she looks swiftly round in its direction and it slams shut. Other exits close just as suddenly, and when she turns her attention to the lights above, they change from white to red. As Billy's friends try to force some doors, they get crushed between them. Promgoers start to rush to the doors, while a fire hose leaves its secure cabinet and shoots through the air. The water turns itself on, and a torrent of water fires out of the hose onto a crowd of students, throwing some of them back. Standing on the stage, Carrie looks down on the chaos before her, all illuminated red. Miss Collins goes up onto the stage to check on Tommy along with some of his friends, and she grabs hold of one girl's hair, shouting at her. Someone tries to grab the hose as the jet of water hits the stage lights, making them spark. The lights have returned to normal, but the hose picks out Norma, sending her flying to the floor, the water pummeling her face. The principal and the English teacher are bickering over the microphone in Carrie. Her eyebrows arched high and her eyes wide, looks around at them. The hose sprays them, and the principal's electrocuted before he falls from the stage. Miss Collins and some of Tommy's friends struggle to carry him across the auditorium. Billy and Chris are looking in through the windows. Miss Collins is pinned back against a wall by an unseen force. A heavy wooden structure swings down onto her, hitting in her belly. Chris screams, then Miss Collins slumps over lifelessly. The soaked English teacher's pinned to the backdrop, and he too is electrocuted. As Carrie steps down from the stage, an angry wall of flame lifts behind her. Still slick from the pig's blood that's covering her, she walks slowly to the center of the auditorium, her arms a little lifted from her sides and her palms facing the floor. The fire is eating its way through the prom as she turns her head, her eyes still wide as she takes in the scene. Silhouetted by the flames, she turns towards the exit and the doors slowly open, allowing her out. Once she's outside, they slam shut once more, the fire inside raging behind them. A fire engine speeds along a wide road, passing Carrie, who's still walking with her hands out at her sides. Billy looks drunk in the passenger seat of his car, but his eyes widen when he spots Carrie up ahead. Chris is at the wheel and is aiming at her. Carrie turns, bending over a little and glaring at Chris as the car swerves, rolls over onto its roof and slows to a halt. Before it's able to land on its wheels, under Carrie's gaze, it explodes. With her eyes wide and as if in a daze, Carrie takes slow steps back to her house, pausing at the front gate to look round at it with an emotionless expression. Her rose-pink dress is now red, and more of the pig's blood stains the skin on her shoulders and arms, her hair still matted with it. She moves slowly towards the front porch, her head tilting from side to side, her hands still held out a little distance from her hips. At the steps, she lifts her skirts and looks down at her feet as she makes her way to the door. Light glows from each of the windows and the front door is ajar. She reaches for the screen door and lets herself in. Inside the house, every surface is littered with candles, shelves, tables. There are even candles on the floor. Carrie shuffles through the living room, taking it all in. An ironing board's been toppled over and the dining room table's covered with flickering candles. The large tapestry of the Last Supper's been ripped and hangs down from the wall. The kitchen is illuminated by more candles. Carrie turns from the kitchen and walks back through to the living room, scanning each corner with her eyes wide. A door leading off the living room is open, revealing a neatly made bed. On the covers are two candles, each balanced on the taut cover. Carrie glances up the stairs to the attic, then slowly climbs them to find that more candles and tea lights have been left on some of the steps. She lifts her bloody skirts as she makes her way up the stairs. A slight frown worries her red-stained brow. As she reaches the top of the stairs, she peers into her own room, then seems to suddenly notice the blood on her skin, and she lets her skirts go before lifting her hands towards her face. Glancing round at the bathroom door, she looks back at her hands, turning them over in front of her eyes. Pressing her hands against her chest, she walks slowly into the bathroom and switches on the light above the tub, unaware that her mother is standing behind the door, like a dressmaker's mannequin. Carrie turns on the taps with her red hands. She unzips the dress, then steps out of her knickers, splashes of pig's blood on her calves. The bath almost full, she steps in and reaches for the soap. The water has already turned a rose pink as she rubs the soap across her face. As the water becomes more clouded with blood, she splashes some on her face, then starts to cry. She rubs the soap through her hair, then reaches for a towel. Drying herself, she pulls on a nightgown and flicks her long hair out from the neckline. She buttons up the nightdress, then steps out of the bathroom and calls down the stairs.
Mom?
Mrs. White appears behind her. Mrs. White pushes her away and gets down onto her knees.
Hold me, Mama. Please hold me.
I should have killed myself when he put it in me. After the first time, before we were married, Ralph promised never again. He promised, and I believed him. But sin never dies. Sin never dies. At first, it was all right. We lived sinlessly. We slept in the same bed, but we never did. And then, that night, I saw him looking down at me that way. We got down on our knees to pray for strength. I smelled the whiskey on his breath. And he took me. With the stink of the Roadhouse whiskey on his breath. And I liked it. I liked it. Well, all that dirty touching of his hands on me, all over me. I should have given you to God when you were born. And I was weak and backsliding. But now, the devil has come home. Oh. We'll pray.
Yes.
We'll pray. We'll pray. We'll pray.
Mrs. White reaches for something.
Oh, Father, what name? How did I name?
She lifts the glinting knife and brings it down into Carrie's back. With a look of pain and shock, Carrie tumbles backwards down the stairs. As she pushes herself up, Mrs. White follows her, the knife in her hand and a smile on her face as she makes the sign of the cross with it. Looking scared, Carrie pushes herself along the floor backwards, away from her mother. Mrs. White wears a happy smile as she follows her daughter. Having reached a door, Carrie grabs the handle and starts to pull at it. As her mother lifts the knife, Carrie's wide eyes send a knife flying, and it pins Mrs. White's hand against a wooden column. A vegetable peeler flies into her chest, another knife pinning the other hand to the wall. More utensils speed through the air into Mrs. White until she resembles the figure of Christ in Carrie's punishment cupboard. Still gripping onto the door handle, Carrie tries to hide from the figure before her, bringing her hands down over her mouth. Mrs. White smiles as if possessed. After a few long moments, she stops crying out and her head lolls to one side to rest on her arm, her eyes staring out lifelessly. Carrie's had her hands over her ears and looks round at her mother's body. The kitchen utensils are in identical positions to the arrows in the Christ figurine, and Mrs. White's hands are pinned out wide as if on the cross. All around her, the candles continue to flicker. After a few moments, Carrie pulls herself slowly and painfully up to her feet. With unsteady movements, she shuffles over to her mother. Screaming, she reaches for the knife in her mother's hand, pulls it out, then catches the body as it slumps. Hearing a creaking noise, Carrie looks up. Plaster in the ceiling begins to fall through. Carrie tries to pull her mother out of the kitchen, but her other hand is still pinned to the wall. The roof above begins to cave in and Carrie pulls her mother free. She pulls her into the cupboard as the walls begin to crumble and the timber pokes through the plasterboard. A fire starts to devour the house and the ground begins to shake. Outside, the ground seems to swallow up the burning house, sucking it in like quicksand. Carrie's head lolls back, blood at her mouth. Inside the tiny cupboard, the eyes of the Christ figurine continue to glow brightly as the walls shake around it. The house sinks further down into the ground until it disappears in a cloud of billowing smoke. At home, Sue is in bed, her head lolling from one side to the other in her sleep, while her mother is sitting in a chair reading nearby. Her mother puts down her book and checks on Sue before hurrying from the room to answer the phone.
Hello? Oh, Betty, thank God it's you. I don't think I could have handled one more reporter. Oh, well. No, we're all a little edgy. She's better. Well, sleeping too much, I guess, but Dr. Schneider said that's to be expected after all she's been through. Well, he said that she's young enough so that she'll forget all about it in time. No. I wouldn't let her go to the funerals. With Tommy and all the others gone, it's best we just go away for a while.
A bright, sunny day, and Sue is wearing a long ivory gown as she walks down the street to where Carrie's house used to be. She's carrying a bunch of flowers and turns in through the front gate to find a large rectangle of rubble in the lawn with a for sale sign at the centre in the shape of a cross. Someone has scrawled the message "Carrie White burns in hell" across the sign with an arrow pointing downwards. Sue steps onto the rectangle of rubble and walks towards the sign. When she's close to it, she kneels down and looks up at the words with tears in her eyes. The sky beyond it has turned to black. Sue slowly lowers her gaze to the fresh flowers she's holding. She slowly lowers them to the base of the sign. A bloody hand reaches up out of the rubble and grabs her arm. Sue sits bolt upright in bed, half asleep, half awake, imagining her mother's hand to be that of the bloody one. Her mother holds her